Welcome to Satellite Sisters. This is Liz Dolan. Today I put together an actual grab bag of a show for you. I just grabbed into our box of CDs, which is the whole Satellite Sister archive I keep here under my bed in my second bedroom. And what came out was our show from March 26th, 2005. But it's a goodie, an interview with Annie Lamott, a segment about Bobby Short, and a really great Entertaining Sheila movie review by our own Sheila Dolan. So listen, laugh, share. We are the Satellite Sisters.
Live from Los Angeles, California, Portland, Oregon, and Moscow, Russia, it's the Satellite Sisters.
We're the Satellite Sisters.
We had this great idea that we could launch our own radio show
with each sister
living in a different city,
connecting on the radio
just the way we did on the telephone.
The Satellite Sisters.
A satellite sister is the first person you think of when something really great happens or something really terrible happens. Who are you going to tell?
Real conversations about real life.
Not every conversation will change your life, but any conversation can.
The ABC Radio Networks present The Satellite Sisters.
Welcome, welcome. We are The Satellite Sisters, and we are five real sisters who are in three cities on two different continents. I'm Liz Dolan in Los Angeles with my sisters Leanne and Sheila Dolan. In Portland, Oregon, Monica Dolan, and in Moscow, Russia, Julie Dolan. And we have many, many things to talk to you about today.
Another rich, full show.
Later on in the show, we are talking to writer Anne Lamott. Later this hour, right?
Her new book is called Plan B. It's a wonderful exploration. It's called Further Thoughts on Faith. And she is one of my favorite writers. I so enjoy her. And she's going to be here to talk about faith and motherhood and aging and all the things that a lot of us are going through.
When love comes in and takes you for a spin, ooh la la la, c'est magnifique. When every night your loved one holds you tight, ooh la la la.
You may have noticed that that's slightly different music than we normally come in with. We're the Satellite Sisters. And that's because one of the news stories this week was that a favorite of ours, Bobby Short, passed away. And he's someone that has always been our parents' favorite. We listened to his music growing up in our house.
That's all we listened to. My father had three albums. He had Bobby Short Loves Cole Porter. He had the Clancy Brothers and Luciano Pavarotti.
Neil Diamond.
Oh, and Neil Diamond.
Okay, it's a wonder. It's a wonder we're here at all, frankly, with that musical collection.
Anyway, but Bobby Short was a famous saloon singer in New York at the Cafe Carlyle for like a million years.
Thirty-five years. He died this week at the age of 80 of leukemia, and he entertained at the Carlyle for more than 35 years, the famous New York night spot. Liz, I never saw him at the Carlyle, did you?
I never did either. Hey, can I just say one thing? We just got word. We had been off the air on KABC for the last few minutes, so we just came back on the air. So we apologize for any of our Southern California listeners that missed the last discussion, but we're moving on.
Okay.
I don't know what else to say.
I wanted to just play a couple clips. A couple years ago on Mother's Day, we did an interview with Bobby Short, because on Mother's Day, we like to put together shows that people our mother likes.
Yes.
It's pretty self-serving, but it works pretty well for us. And she loves Bobby Short, so we were so honored to talk to him. I was thrilled, personally. And he told us the story. We talked a lot about his mom and growing up because it was Mother's Day. And he told us the story of how he became a vaudeville star at the age of 12.
My father died when I was 11, and 6 months later, I was in Chicago learning the ropes.
Was your mom supportive of that? Because that seems like a big step.
She really was quite supportive. I mean, she was never a stage mom, ever. And I think she had enormous faith in me and my ability to take care of myself. And she said, do you want to do this? And I said, oh, I'm dying to do it. I want to be on the stage and be a star. And she said, well, all right. And she gave me some money and said, now you know how to come home. You have to. So I went.
Oh, love just even hearing his voice, because even in his speaking voice, you can hear the rhythm of his singing voice, which was so smooth and unaffected and just so perfect.
There
for
was
the
something
atmosphere.
So incredibly elegant about him, too, but in an accessible way, you know, and well, that's why he was famous for just bringing forward songs that you wouldn't otherwise have known, things that would have passed.
When we spoke to him, Liz, he said his probably his best memory was that generations of families had come to see him at the Carlisle, and he had been a part of so many people's wedding anniversaries and engagements and special days like Mother's Days and birthdays, and that he just loved treating the ladies with an elegant air, that that's what ladies expected,
yes,
and that's what they deserve.
That's what he delivered.
We agree with that.
And he had another great quote about one of his favorite songs about his mom. So I just
I remember a popular song called My Mom, and I was impressed with the lyricist's rhyme. As years grow on her, I gaze upon her. She's my Madonna, my mom.
So hats off to Bobby Short. Thank you for many hours in the Dolan household. Bobby Short loves Cole Porter, and we'll miss you.
Yes, we will.
Liz, it's a thrill to have the show because sometimes you get to just pick up the phone and call your favorite writers and say, would you be on?
Someone
least,
you've always wanted to
talk
to, but wouldn't have an excuse to.
Our executive producer, Corny Cole, does that. And so I'm thrilled to talk to Annie Lamott today. She is the best-selling author of three works of nonfiction, including Traveling Mercies, Bird by Bird, and Operating Instructions. She's written six novels. She's a columnist online for Salon.com. And she describes herself, or the New Yorker described her, as a cranky Christian. And that's, I appreciate cranky
Christian.
It's a
perfect choice for Easter weekend.
Exactly. Annie Lamott's new book is called Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith. Annie, thank you for being on Satellite Sisters today.
Thanks for having me.
You know, one of the essays in your book, first of all, the book is wonderful. And I alternated through laughing, crying, because so much of what you write about really resonates in my life, just trying to be a mother and raise kids and do good and be a citizen.
Yeah.
But you write a lot about aging, mm-hmm. not a lot, but you write about aging. And in one descriptive passage, you say you're decades past your salad days, and right now you're in your cheese days. and I feel like I'm headed into my cheese days, Annie. What are cheese days?
Well, I had to make that up because I don't think there is anything. I think that there's salad days and then the days of wine and roses and then there's some sort of the autumn of your life days. And I thought, I have like a lot of energy, but I feel like sort of just one of the other cheese balls sitting on the lettuce, you know, the lettuce leaves on the platter. It's still delicious, but maybe a little tiny bit riper than earlier in the day. But still delicious and full of nutrition and life-giving.
Oh, see?
Okay, all right, we're adopting that. We're totally stealing that.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's Framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leon here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leon, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leon Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leon's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
Hi, when you describe it like that, I don't mind being in my cheese days heading in.
Oh, I wouldn't give back a year. I'll be 51 in a couple of weeks, and I don't know a person who would give back a year or a decade, because you just love getting to finally feel like you get to be the person you kind of dreamt about being all along, and you get so tired of lugging everybody else's stuff. It's like the bitter bellhop lugging trunks of your relatives' psychic stuff with you and your parents and your mothers. And finally, it's like you're in this plane and you just want to fly a little more lightly, and you just start chucking out all this stuff that used to matter to you, that when you're 50 and you're a cranky Christian or one of just the cheese balls on a plate, you say, you know what, I'm done.
Annie, this is Julie, and I'm the oldest sister, and I'm sort of approaching that big 5-0.
I absolutely promise that there's a line in that book piece untitled that says getting a little older has finally given me what I was looking for all along, which is me. And you know, I definitely have like the tiny little bodily body issues. I mean, definitely have arthritis in my hand, and I get out of bed and I kind of walk around like Walter Brennan for about 10 minutes. And
I do that too. Yes.
My vision's failing, you know, and I'm in menopause. And so I have the little regular old tummy, because I never got fat in my tummy. I'd always get fat in my butt or thighs. But I have this regular sort of little tummy that I think of as sort of cute in a, you know, familiar way. And then you get the lower tummy, which is what I call the subcontinent. And it's like a second little tummy. It's like a little fanny pack. But when I showed it to my OBGYN, she said, oh, and then she pulled, zippered down, unzipped her pants, and she showed me hers, and she said, we all have it, and it's a little drugstore for estrogen. It's where your body's storing your estrogen. So now I start to think of it very affectionately, and that's about as bad as it gets. And, you know, your feet hurt a little more, and you squint Magoo-like, you know, against the sun, but I talked to thousands and thousands of people, and almost all of them would agree they loved their 40s, and then they're loving their 50s even more. My Aunt Gertrude, who's 86, leaves us behind when we go hiking on the mountain, and You know,
Annie, you're exhausting us, frankly. Woo! Julie, are you exhausted already?
I'm exhausted.
Because there's great energy. But we're talking to Annie Lamott. Her book, new book, is called Plan B: Further Thoughts on Faith, and it's just a wonderful look at your life now. But one of the dramas that plays out in the book, Annie, is you at 50, at this stage in your life, the cheese days, you know, enjoying being you, and yet you have a teenage son who is making you crazy.
A little crazy. I want to just finish the last thought by saying I'm also more tired than I used to be. And okay. I take a nap every single day. And as I got older, I discovered that rest is a spiritual act, which is a very subversive thing to say in this culture, which is all multitasking and getting more done. And I developed a theory, a practice of yoga years ago that's unfortunately fallen out of favor, but it's called prone yoga, and it involves lying on the floor or on the couch with the New Yorker and maintaining the prone, it's called. But anyway, yes, I do have a 15-year-old son. In fact, I have six 15-year-old boys, including Sam, downstairs at this very moment. And it's like being on an elk preserve. I mean, upstairs, there's 12 pairs of shoes that are like boats. Well, and they're all, yesterday when they took them off, they're like radiant with teenage boy issues.
There's a lot of smells that come with that age, don't you find, Annie?
Say what?
The smell.
Are just indescribable. And but you can see, like in cartoons, when something smells or when there's heat lines radiating off of a field of wheat, you can see those radiant lines. That's what happens when the boys take them off. I mean, you blink, you know, your eyes have to blink against it. But with real life, they're great about 80% of the time. There's a piece in Plan B called The Church of 80% Sincerity by my friend David Roach, who has these severe disfigurements. And he says 80% of anything is a miracle. You know, your family or the culture say that it's sort of a B minus. It's not great, but David Roach insists, and I believe him as the pastor that he is of the Church of 80% Sincerity, that it's a small miracle, 80% love, 80% honesty. And these kids are so fantastic and alive 80% of the time. The problem is that with a teenager, a 15-year-old, almost 16, that the 20% that's awful is much dicier and scarier than it was when they were 10 or 7 or 4.
In what ways?
Well, it's a dangerous world out there, you know, and all of these communities, including my own, are just swamped with drugs. And, you know, Betty Ford said that if we had enemies at the gates that were, or at the ports that were coming in to target and imprison our teenagers, that there would be just this gigantic military uprising against them. And the fact is that we do. There's just, and it's very hard to do anything about it. You know, there's so much dope. There's so much OxyContin that's hit the high
wow.
schools. The there's so much speed in the high schools, and it's hard. And the pot they're smoking. I mean, I smoked the non-habit forming marijuana almost daily from the age of 12 or 13 until I got sober nearly 20 years ago. And this is not the same dope that we were smoking. This is almost another drug.
And how do you handle that then on a daily basis? What do you do when Sam goes out into the world? He's got to go to high school. So how do you handle it?
Yeah.
Now that's Julie's approach to parenting, right. Annie. Julie would have happily gone to high school
but
and college.
Annie,
with
don't you find that a lot of parents don't even talk about this? I mean, at least that's what I loved about your book is that you talk about the parts that are really hard with teenagers.
Well, a lot of the parents do what I used to do until about a year and a half ago, which was they thought that they are here to be their children's friends. And about when Sam was somewhere in his 13s, it's like the skies opened, or it's like the veil parted, and God threw down this fortune cookie to me, except for it was a very profound. And what it said was, you are not here to be his friend. He's got fabulous friends. In fact, they're all downstairs.
Our guest is Annie Lamott. She is the author of a great new book called Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith. She's a best-selling author. And the New Yorker describes her as a cranky Christian, and she seems to fulfill that description. Julie?
You know, Annie, we were talking about parenting. And what is it? Why is it that when kids are younger, parents are willing to share every detail about bedwetting, about toilet training, biting, but somehow when kids become teenagers, parents clam up?
Well, it's because it is so terrifying that. I mean, it's sort of adorable or manageable when your kids are little and their problems are universal, and parents are just so desperate to share some information because no one seems to have gotten an owner's manual. But when your kids are a teenager, a lot of their life is this sort of subterranean thing, and you don't quite know what's going on a lot of the time, and what you know about the teenage world is very scary. There is a just huge amount of drug use out there. The whole sexual rules of conduct have changed. What we are hearing teenage girls do to be considered normal and popular just makes your blood run backwards. So parents, A, don't know, and B, don't want to say because it makes it look like they're no longer running the show. But there's a great line on the back of backside of Mel Brooks's great 2,000-year-old man, where the aged psychiatrist says, "Listen to your broccoli, and your broccoli will tell you how to eat it." And I am a deep believer in listening to your broccoli and your instinct. And I came to feel a couple years ago that there was I knew there was dope being smoked, but all the other parents would poo-poo it and say, "Oh, we all smoke dope. They all smoke. It's not a big deal." There's a brilliant book I'd like to tell parents about if they really don't know where to start, by a man named Tim Cermak, it's Cermak, who's a doctor, and it's called Marijuana, What's a Parent to Believe? And it is scary because the kids' brains at 15, 16, 17 are still in very, very dynamic process of growth and change, and a whole lot of the most important sectors of that, i.e., good common sense, are being developed, and the dope is pouring poison on that. And so,
one of the ways you cope. I mean, you've always enforced with Sam, and it's written throughout the book that he go to church with you.
Have to go now. At 15, I sprung him, but I do think that it was a good thing for him to go until then.
Yeah. Our guest is writer Annie Lamott. Her new book is called Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith. Well, one of the hallmarks of your writing, really, is how honest you are about the things that no one will come clean about. You talk a lot about, you know, motherhood. Sometimes it's just really flat out boring, which I appreciate because sometimes you just cannot play one more game of Yahtzee. You just can't. I just can't sit down and play the Yahtzee for 8 hours. Just clean up the Monopoly game. It's been going on for a week. But you tackle really tough topics too. I mean, you mentioned your own sobriety. Your mother died of Alzheimer's. You know, you really handle the hard stuff, but you handle it with a lot of humor and a lot of hope.
Yes.
And does that, sometimes hope and humor don't seem to go together because you think of humor as being cynical. You think of people who are funny as looking at the world in a very dark way, but you're very funny in your writing, but you look at it in a very bright, positive way.
Well, I don't think bright is not the right word.
Okay, bright isn't the right word. You're right.
Let that go for a second. But the thing is, you have to remember is that I write my pieces down the road and that a lot of things are funny or really profoundly touching a little later, you know, when they first happen. And I write a lot about this in both Traveling Mercies and Plan B. When they first happen, you can just be struck dumb by them. They're so painful, and you can hardly believe that you're going to be able to get through them. But then the same old things turn out to, it seems like this crummy little toolbox of, like, you've got your best friends, and you maybe have a tiny community of people who just adore you and just suddenly arrive, and a little bit of time passes, and people make you go for walks, and you think that could never be enough. This time it's so bad. And the friends, the people that adore you, turn out to be enough. And telling the truth turns out to be enough. And there's a wonderful line of faith about faith. I do not know where it comes from. It's certainly not a Christian thing, I don't think. But it says that when you come to the edge of all the light you've ever known and you're about to step off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing that one of two things will happen. Either you will land on solid ground or you will be taught how to fly. And if you're still alive at...
Wow, that is such a beautiful thought.
Isn't that
beautiful? That is incredibly optimistic.
And the thing is that if you're still alive at 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, you realize that every single time that happened, it just didn't happen that day. Life and spirituality are not ATMs, you know. They take process. And they take slogging through periods where there isn't very much light, and then one friend shows up with one of those little flashlight keychains, you know, where you press the two sides together,
right.
And you think, oh, that's not enough, it's not enough, and a little bit of light to see by and a dear-hearted person beside you is really really enough almost all the time.
Annie, this is Julie. I was so impressed with how hard you work at your faith. I mean, you just, it's not like you're going through the motions. I mean, it seems like it's a real effort.
Well, I have to say I'm a terrible Christian, and I hope I'm not a model to anyone because, as I've written about rather extensively, I have tiny little problems with forgiveness. And I'm one of those,
don't we all, though, really?
And I'm one of those egomaniacs with low self-esteem. And so I have found in my experience that the willingness to change or to heal or to begin the process of the restoration of your soul, which is really what middle age has been about for me, let's talk about memory because I got it back. The willingness comes from the pain, you know, and that as long as things aren't that miserable, but it's like when alcoholics hit a bottom. It's like if you're keeping an alcoholic from hitting a bottom, you're shortchanging them. And it's like with your faith, and when you can't surrender, it's because you haven't run out of bullets yet.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling and chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAT Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SAT Sisters for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Annie Lamott, we got to go. We have to take a break this hour.
Thank you so much, Annie,
for being on Satellite Sisters. The book is wonderful. It's a great read. Plan B, Further Thoughts on Faith. Annie Lamott, what a thrill.
Happy Easter, Annie.
Happy Easter. Entertaining Sheila, it's Bruce Willis in Hostage. And I deliberately say it that way because Bruce, he's in the movie, but there ain't no movie after 2 hours. And Hostage is in theaters now. And sisters, I know what you're wondering. You're wondering, Sheila, why Bruce Willis? Why now? You've never been an action movie fan?
No, that's true. That's true.
Well, that's not I did see Gladiator 12 times. And I have it on hold at Blockbuster for this weekend. But I've been thinking a lot about Bruce lately, and it's hard not to think about him because he's on every magazine cover. He's on television. He's on the red carpet. He's everywhere. And, you know, I'm just fascinated by Bruce. I want to know a few things. Number one, that's an act, isn't it? That whole acceptance of Ashton Kutcher. I mean, I don't even want to know the car my ex-husband drives. I don't want to know the name of the car, never mind go on vacation with him and all the kids.
So you think that's all just a sham?
Yeah, I mean, someone actually tried to tell me once in a casual conversation, they were like, Sheila, did you hear that he bought too much information. I don't want to know the car. Okay. And the second thing I wonder, how did an ex-bartender from New Jersey with no articulation skills become one of the highest paid men in the country? You know, we had to...
I beg to differ there. I was a huge Moonlighting fan. So, you got to go back to his TV days.
The look of horror on Sheila's face.
I'm not an action movie gal, but I loved Moonlighting, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
I don't know. The guy doesn't open his mouth. I mean, we had to recite poetry every night after dinner. We should have been pouring drinks somewhere. Maybe we'd be making some money. And the third thing I think is on everyone's mind, and I'll just say it. If he likes sex, and he has an ex, and Terry Hatcher likes sex, and she has an ex. You hear where I'm going with this?
No, I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, on the cover of People this week.
Bruce,
see, that's what we missed, is that we were talking about People magazine.
Bruce Willis, the cover is, he likes sex, and he has an ex.
Okay.
Okay, and Terry Hatcher. Okay, well, you don't see where I'm going with this.
No.
All righty.
Maybe I see, but I'm not willing to go there.
Well, I went to see Hostage partially because my movie buddy and Diane were due for a movie date. And we don't really socialize in any other way but go to the movies together. Actually, we have nothing in common. Absolutely nothing in common. So we go back and forth. In 1 month, we'll see an indie movie that I like with one of the hundreds of Gyllenhaals in it. And another month, we'll go see Bruce Willis in Hostage. But this week, too much time had passed between our movie dates, and I forgot. Did we go to her movie last month? Or was it my movie? All right. And so right before the movie started, I started to get like this twist in my stomach. And, you know, I had that familiar feeling that I often get, which is threatened and controlling. Threatened and controlling. So right before the movie started, I felt compelled to lean over to my friend Diane and say, you know, Diane, if this movie has too much violence in it, I may have to leave. She said nothing. I whispered again, Diane, if this movie has no plot and it gets too intense, I think I'm going to have to leave.
Silence. My friend Diane shot me a look in the semi-darkness and said, Leave, it's an action movie. There doesn't have to be a plot. Okay, Diane, I beg to differ, all right? There has to be a plot, and there has to be direction, and there has to be acting, and Russell Crowe, if at all possible. And now I'm, like, fuming 5 minutes before the movie starts. And I'll admit
it. So you just set yourself up to hate it, then. You didn't really have an open mind.
I mean, Bruce Willis is a draw, and I admit it. He's in fine form in this movie, and he looks downright hot in his SWAT gear. But there I was, silently fuming to myself, there must be a plot. There's got to be a plot, or I'm out of here. I'm out of the theater. Oh, the good news is, in Hostage, there are so many plots. Oh, my goodness, there's a plot for everyone in the theater. It's great. There's the historic hostage situation, which haunts Willis the entire movie. Then there's the ex-wife, teenage daughter situation. That's a total throwaway plot. There's the present hostage plot, which involves three teenagers and a family and arson and drugs in the entire Ventura County Police Department. There's the money laundering, kryptonite-carrying mob plot. And yet there's another takeover hostage plot. I mean, there's so many plots. It's great.
Plots are popping. That's good.
And there is, in the movie, what I will simply refer to as the son of Bono, Leon.
Really?
The only thing that my friend Diane agreed on is the bad guy in this movie, who has a whole back plot, is the son of Bono. He is the son of Bono. There's the swagger, there's the hair, there's the tilted head. But while Diane and I agreed he is the son of Bono, she thought he was cute. And I was like, you can't be serious. How can that soulless Satan be cute? The gladiator was a god compared to him. A god.
That's the standard. Ooh. The gladiator is always the standard for you?
The thing is, I was entertained in the hostage for 50 minutes, just as I predicted. I knew that 50 minutes and I would be gone. And it's a good movie for 50 minutes. But the thing is, I could not suspend my belief any longer. I just couldn't do it. When the limp body double started falling from the sky, I was just chuckling. I was chuckling in the darkness, which made Diane very mad. And when Son of Bono started doing his best sort of Jack Nicholson, The Rock impression, I was laughing. I mean, I was out and out laughing, and popcorn was spilling out of my medium popcorn, which is not good when I'm losing kernels. And why did I stay?
Why did you stay?
Why did I stay?
Because of your commitment to your audience. You're a professional?
I stayed to the end, Liz, because of Willis. He produced this movie, and it was obvious that he put together all that anger and remorse that he really feels for Ashton Kutcher right into every scene. Right into every scene. He's a powerhouse in an understated barkeep kind of way. And he is entertaining. Bruce Willis is entertaining, but I don't think he was going for the laughs.
No.
I really don't think he was going for the laughs in this movie.
Is that what the title indicated to you? Hostage? No. Not a comedy?
That's right. It sort of is a comedy by the end. And here's the thing. You know, I give a 1 to 5 sister rating.
Yes.
And I want to give it 2 sisters, okay? This is the thing. I am going to give Hostage 1 sister for the first 50 minutes of the movie. I was intrigued. I was tense, and I was scared. And I was even leaned over to my friend Diane. I was feeling like I needed to bond with her after our mini fight before the movie. And I said, you know, in a not scary part, I said, hey, Diane, I'm really scared. And she looked at me like I was a moron. And I'm going to give another sister for Bruce. Got to give another sister for Bruce. He captured a character tortured by his past. And he's great. He's absolutely great in the opening scene. But unfortunately, that simple hostage plot, which I think was good, I thought was going to be the whole movie, just was apparently too simple for his tastes. So he started piling the plots on top. And if he had just removed his shirt a few more times in the movie, I would have given him another sister.
That's right. That's the thing about you, Sheila. You're actually very easily satisfied in some areas.
So I am giving Hostage with Bruce Willis 2 sisters.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right. Wow.
Do you think your movie buddy Diane will ever recover?
Diane loved it. She absolutely loved the movie. She thought it was one of the best movies she ever saw.
Maybe one week when you go on vacation, we'll just have Diane in to give the rebuttal.
In the alternate universe that most people live in, these movies are great. Okay, Sheila, thank you so much. Another great entertainment report.